Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen. The word of God that we're going to focus on as we continue focusing on the road to redemption today, seeing how God wants us to stay on course or how he helps us stay on course, is our gospel from John chapter 2. It's on page 6 in your service folder if you'd like to follow along as we talk about it. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Okay, let's say you're driving a long ways, say like 8 hours. And as you're driving along, you see one of those neat signs that have the word starts with a temporary sign, the word starts with D, detour. You get all excited. Hey, great, I get to see a new part of the boring plains of Minnesota. Had that happen this last summer going on Highway 7. Detour took us up and around and added on 30, 40 minutes to the trip, I think. I don't know about you, but I find that really frustrating, annoying, irritating. I don't like those orange signs that say detour ahead. But I suppose there are sometimes I do. When you're halfway through the detour and you haven't seen one of those orange signs in a while, you're 20 minutes into that 30-minute excursion, and you still don't know that it's only a 30-minute excursion. You haven't seen one in a while, and you start wondering, did I miss it? Am I going? Is Canada ahead? What's going on? Then you get kind of excited when you see one of those orange signs again, huh? That tells you you're still on the right track. And yes, it's going to take a little while. You went off course a little bit, but you're not completely off course. So I suppose there are times when those orange signs are very comforting and very nice. As we gather together today in this third Sunday in Lent and we continue to focus on the road to redemption, we see about staying on course and what God uses as those little orange detour signs to remind us to get back on the right course, to get back to the path that we're headed. It's his word. He uses his word to show us what to do, what not to do. He uses his word to comfort us when we're troubled by our sins. He uses his word to show us just how important it is that we aren't distracted by the things of this life, or even the things that we use to worship God. He's really reminding us today, don't get distracted by the how and the what of worshiping God so that you lose your focus on God himself. It's all about Jesus. Those are words that have to remain true for us. Anything that causes our eyes to depart from Jesus and go to ourselves or to go to something else is something that's taking us off course. And so at times we need another Christian. We need God himself speaking to us through his word to show us this is what God wants for us. Get back on course. Stay on the road to redemption that only Christ can win for you. So keep your eyes on Jesus. In John 2, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is one of the first Passovers in his public ministry. He clears the temple of the money changers. This count we're probably familiar with, makes a cord out of whips and starts chasing them out. And one of the things that always boggles my mind, if I see something that I know is wrong, and I got to start making a bunch of whips out of cords that are laying around, let's say I got to chase all you guys out of here this morning for something you're doing. I guarantee you I'm going to sin while I do it. That my anger is going to cause me to sin as I do even the right thing. So here's Jesus seeing people distracted in the court of the Gentiles by the money changers, by the animals, by the noise, by the smell, by the activity, so that the Gentiles, and this is as far as they could go, can't really focus on God's promise of a Savior to come, because there's too many distractions. There's too many things taking their eyes and leading them off course. So Jesus makes the cord out of the whips, and he chases them all out. He flings their tables over. He chases them out, gets the cages and the birds, everything all out. And he does it without sin. I mean, doesn't that boggle your mind? Parents, you ever discipline your children and cross the line into sin as you're doing it? You're breathing, you have. This is what we do. We're sinners. But here's Jesus doing what's right, having zeal for the Lord's house. Zeal for the Lord's house will consume me, Psalm 69. His zeal leads him to get away the things that take away the focus off of who God is and what God was doing. You see him do this, and you see him question about it. Not, you shouldn't have done that, but give us a sign to show us you can do it. And he gives them a sign. He gives them a sign that they don't understand, but I think they understood it before the disciples did. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. And they go, yeah, Herod had been on a building, remodeling process in the temple and the surrounding courtyards for 46 years. He says, you're going to do it in 3 days. They didn't understand at that moment he was talking about his body, but I think they got it a little bit later, didn't they? Because these people that were opposing Jesus, the lead of the Pharisees, the members of the Sanhedrin, these people that were didn't think Jesus was what he claimed to be, they wanted a guard posted at Jesus' tomb because he had said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. I think by then they had figured it out, even though the disciples really didn't. The disciples, even though they had been told plainly, I will be handed over and be killed, and then on the third day I'll arise, they still were surprised when the women brought them the story. Distractions that take us off course. For each and every one of us here this morning, it's different, isn't it? For each and every one of us, this isn't about, you know, can you sell greeting cards in a church basement? That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about what are the things that distract you, even the good and godly things that you think you're doing. Sometimes it becomes style of worship for some people. I don't like that hymn, so I'm not going to focus on the words that we're singing, or that, you know, singing that psalm was a little unfamiliar, so I'm not going to pay attention to this word that the Holy Spirit inspired the psalmist to write, because it's all about me. If I'm uncomfortable, God obviously can't work through that psalm or that psalm to speak to my heart. Well, sure he can't. If you're distracted and focused on yourself and what you like and dislike, and you're not focused on who God is and what he's done and what he's trying to say to you, then you're distracted. So, you know, when these things happen to us, if Jesus was here, would he start putting together a whip out of cords? You know, and what would he chase out of your heart? That's got to be the question you ask yourself during Lent, isn't it? If Lent is all about this struggle, this discipline of repentance for yourself and not for someone else, or not for what someone else has done, but for yourself, what are the things in your life Jesus would make a whip and try to chase out of your life? And if you don't know, go back to our first lesson, right? Look at the Ten Commandments. Where are you struggling? Or go to our text. Zeal for God's house will consume me. Do you find a zeal for the time you spend in God's house or in God's word? Is there a passion and a desire for this? And do you work at it while you're there, or do you just sit back on a nice red cushion and say, okay, pastor, keep me awake for 10 minutes. It's all on you. Oh, bull. No, it ain't. It's on you. God says you're to worship him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, not all your entertainment, right? So what is it in your life that Jesus would be chasing out? Is it how you view other people? It's kind of easy to get distracted in our relationships with other people and forget that our relationships with other people are also how we glorify God. It's also how we serve God. You look back at the Ten Commandments there. It talks about family life. It talks about married life. Talks about those kind of relationships, right? Are you glorifying God in those relationships? Or do you struggle with how someone else has hurt you and you can't set aside that and forgive them as God forgave you? Because, hey, the second lesson, I suppose, would also apply to your brothers and sisters in Christ that irritate you, right? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God loved them enough to forgive them by dying for them. Can you and I set aside our hurt and our anger, and say, Lord, help me to love as you love. There's all kinds of things that Jesus hung out with me for a week, and he'd be wanting to make a whip, chasing things out of my heart and my life, right? Same thing for you. Truth of the matter is, Jesus hangs out with you all the time, right? And so, for you and I in this Lenten discipline on this road to redemption, we've got to see where we've strayed off course. We need to let the Word speak to our hearts and change us. Because the power to change us comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It comes in the love that He has shown us by dying for us, to put to death in us what we could never put to death. The sins that we struggle with, we can't overcome them. Yeah, we might set them aside for a time, but even that doesn't take away the guilt they have incurred. Only Jesus takes away that guilt. Only Jesus sets us free. So that's why our God is so concerned about us not getting distracted. That's why He wants our brothers and sisters in Christ to be that orange detour sign that says to us when we're straying, when we're going off course, hey, there's still time to get back to the right route. Turn back to Jesus. Focus on Him and His love. Because the sign that Jesus gave, He fulfilled. He lived. He died in your place. And the third day He rose again so that you would always have that reminder His love for you is that perfect to help keep you connected to Him. Amen.